We are talking to Gussie Bollier tonight on working on the log drive. Now, before we start...
The log drive you want to take, or you want to take the woods drive?
The log drive.
The cutting first.
Yeah.
The cutting first.
But before, could you tell me how old you are?
I'm almost old enough to know. I'm 75. I'm going to be 76 the 4th of July.
Okay, now, when they cut the logs for the drive, when do they do that?
In the wintertime.
In the winter?
Mm-hmm. They take a crew up in the woods in the fall of the years, sometime in August, sometime later, you know, in December and so forth. And they start operating until cutting, and they yard them in the woods. They skid them, file them, they all have block tree, and they have a line, and they have this chain that brings up the logs on the yard. You know, they cut them in the woods, and then when they bring them to the yard, they put them in front of the yard, and there's a yard tender.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes the chain, put it underneath the log, and then he have a grab hook on the end of this cable, and he hooks that in the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fellow, the teamster, he hooks on to the cable, and he hauls the log up on the path.
Yeah.
But it's now, on the yard. We call that a yard.
On the yard.
Yeah.
What do they bring the log out of the woods with? Do they call it a twitch? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. The twitch. Yeah.
The twitch. Yeah. What does that look like?
Well, they're hooked on, and they got a chain. The chain's around the end of the log.
Uh-huh. And that's...
And they bring that to the yard, like I tell you that.
Uh-huh.
They unhook that chain. And then you hook the cable on.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the log out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the snow gets deep enough, that around Christmas, generally, you know, there's enough snow there. They start breaking roads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll put on a little jag, you know. They put on a few logs on one bobsled. Mm-hmm. They'll drag the road to make, you know, to try and harden it up. And they'll let stay a few days like that. And then they'll go over to sleds and little light loads, you know. And after the road gets pretty hard, they'll spray it. They'll spray water on it, they have water tanks, spray it. And then if a snowstorm will fall, well, they'll plow that out just like they do on the highways. Of course, the same kind of plow, but...
But they keep the roads iced. Huh?
That's right. They keep the road in good shape, that way they can haul big loads.
Mm-hmm. How big a load do they haul?
Oh, quite a load. I don't remember just how many now. Always say in the area. You take long logs there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not quite so much as one of them big trucks hauls today.
Mm-hmm.
But we could say in the area that make about two or three loads. About three loads, a team would take them about three loads.
What a big truck hauls today.
Yeah, what a big truck hauls today.
Yeah.
That's whole length, just like they do today.
Now, they brought that, when they brought it out of the yard, where did they take the...
Down to Landon, down to the river.
Down to the river.
Yeah. There they call it Landon. Because
mm-hmm.
It's landed there, it's going to be drove afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So they piled it up then, piled in some places they didn't pile it, they just dumped it there, you know, kept dumping.
Mm-hmm.
It had a big bank, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they keep piling up over until they get a big pile there. And then the spring of the year we'd go there with dynamite, and that was all froze there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was early when we start driving. Well, to get the head of water before the water all leaves, sometimes it's in the brook, see, small brooks.
Mm-hmm.
So they have dams on these brooks, and they hold the water back until we get ready to drive. And when the water starts breaking quite a lot, well, then they open the dam and flood it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start driving.
Now, you use dynamite to get those logs
mm-hmm. and get them loose out of the ice.
Oh, I see.
Because them bottom logs that are all caught in the ice.
Yeah,
you know?
I see. And then you drive them down the river. Where usually did they put their logs in the river? I mean, around here.
They have brooms. They broom them.
A boom? What's a boom?
Yeah, yeah. And the broom, that's a, like logs, they're stuck together with chains.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Chain, the hole, auger hole in the end of the log, this chain goes through that hole.
I see.
And there's a, what they call a toggle on it. A toggle is a thing that is just like this here, and it'll roll back and forth.
Clamp.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
And
like
that, after you get through the hole there,
like
you can't
joint.
Pull it back out because that'll come level like that.
Yeah. It's like
because
a joint.
Because it's balanced,
almost.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you put it through the two logs, though, that toggle. The other end's a ring, big ring. So it won't go through. So.
Mm-hmm. And this holds the logs back.
See. And when they have too many logs, so they have these little donkey, we call them little donkey engine. They used to pile them on the bank here, great big pile of logs on the bank.
They take them out of the river and pile them
yeah,
on the
bank? Yeah, they pile them on the, in the bank for the saw later, you know.
Oh, I see.
They just have this little channel just a little ways from the foot of the slip. You know to keep open?
That's a slip?
The slip of the mill.
Oh, I
that's
see.
Why they pull the logs into the mill, on mm-hmm. a great big chain there again,
with oh,
big
see.
Spurs in it. Once in a while there's a set of spur in it. And that when the log, the end of the log, it hit that, well that was underwater, we'd say about that deep underwater. The log come up on that, and when it, them spurs would catch it, pull it up in the mill.
How far would they drag the logs down the river?
Long ways, my dear.
10 miles? 20 miles?
40 miles, 50 miles.
Really?
We'd go to, in 1917, we went here, the Munsongan they call, for a river drive for the Ashland Mill Company. And Munsongan is quite a ways up.
Yeah. And we drove them all the way down to the...
Mm-hmm.
Now the piers that are in the river here, did that have anything to do with the the drive? What did that?
Well, it has to do with lumber all together. You see where Nunkarny lived there?
Mm-hmm.
You know that them piers that goes across the river there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the whole of lumber to come in here, see, where the boom is. Now, them piers that you saw there.
You mean the logs that come down
Yeah. All them piers that you saw there come in this way. Well, that was all booms there in between them piers.
Oh, I see.
And all the way down clean to the mill here.
Oh, that's what the piers were used for then?
That's
for
right.
For the booms?
That's right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And to hold the lumber so the lumber wouldn't get through.
How many men usually were on a log drive?
Oh, my God. You'd have 100? To have some...
100?
Well, in some places, 75 or 80. And then you'd have some another crew probably ahead, probably two or three crews ahead.
Oh,
and then out,
see. Oh, I see.
10 to 15 men here, 10 to 15 men there, and so on and so forth, all along the river.
Everybody had their own job.
That's right, all along the river.
Oh,
but the men's on the rear then, they'd come right through with it. They'd follow the rear back.
And you didn't work in one big crew, you were all split up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. We sat, what they call sack the rear, you know. And there's some jump ahead, and sometimes a little plug would come in, you know, jam up, and we'd break that. Keep on going, so forth.
What was a pick man?
Pick pole? That was Ed Water, dear.
A pick man?
A pick man?
A pick man, yeah. I've heard them mention a pick man. Was he the one that went in and there was a jam or something? Did he go in and...
That's $10.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah, cam dog.
Yeah.
See, the men's handling them cam dog, they'd handle them on the yard. They'd handle them to load the steams. They'd handle them to on the landings. And they'd handle them going down the river. That was
a,
the whole...
A cam dog,
right,
you called it?
Yeah, a peavey or a cam dog.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to wear special kind of shoes or anything to walk on those logs? So
you did in the water, my dear. Cart shoes, they call them.
Cart shoes.
There's all spurs underneath, about that long.
Did...
About we'd say about a little better than half an inch long. Mm-hmm. Then cords stick out of your shoes.
Did everybody wear them? Or
yeah.
Just a few?
Mostly.
Most everybody.
Mostly
wore them.
Everybody.
Yeah. What time do you have to get up in the morning?
We get up before daylight. I don't know what time it was, but we'd eat by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was dark, pitch dark. We start along the brook like that.
Did you
until daylight
did
come.
You tent out at the drive, or did you
yeah,
come home?
Yeah, after we day? After when at first that we which
went
when
way
we
up.
Start the drive there.
Yeah.
Well, generally there was a camp there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was staying in the camp there. But after we left there and get down the brook a ways, well, they had what they call a longing boat. That would follow the crew. Well, the cook was in there, the cookie. And then spread, you know, that you'd lay down on and so forth. Everything is in that wongan boat.
Oh,
it's a great big boat.
That's a wongan boat then.
Yeah.
Like a kitchen.
Yeah.
A big
that's
kitchen.
Right, the kitchen, everything is in there.
Yeah.
And all the equipment, all the food was in there too, you know. Mm-hmm. They'd have their food there, them to go so far that they could reach it when you get to the far, close enough to clearance. So they could get teams to bring it.
See? Mm-hmm. And the wongan boat would stop for your dinner?
They'd know just about how far. They'd let us go ahead there, sack in the rear. And we'd go ahead there, sack in the rear, oh, probably sometime 5 or 6 miles or something like that. And by and by, the boss would tell him when, you know, to start. And then he'd tell him you go to a certain place and wait there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'd feed us our lunches too, you know, on the way, see? They'd follow us so close that we'd have our lunches with them, see?
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they had, the one fellow would have a canoe, you know, in the bunch, pretty good in the canoe. They'd have him bring the lunches out to us, who was too far from the wongan.
But sack in the rear was the last crew
that was
down.
The rear, that was the last crew down.
Yeah.
They'd bring everything down, there's nothing left behind.
What time did you quit at night?
Just the same, my dear.
After
when you couldn't see no more there, we eat four meals a day.
4 meals a day?
Yeah. 2 meals to camp, 2 meals out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or 2 meals to the tent when we have to get started, but it's the tent.
Well, now you talked about a tan dog. What were some of the other tools they used?
Well, they used pick poles on dead water.
Mm-hmm.
Dead water, you have to do a lot of pushing, you know.
And they
and you do that with pick poles.
Huh? What did a pick pole look like?
Well, it was just like we say, something about that big, and long from here to the cabinet there, and they had a pick on it.
6-7 feet long.
Yes, and 10 feet long.
10 feet long.
Yeah.
And had a pick on the end of it.
And had a pick on the end of it. That's what they call a pick pole.
And they just move the logs along.
Yeah.
Pushing them, yeah.
In dead water, well, you have to keep pushing, you know, because it didn't go through that very fast, see?
Mm-hmm.
There was a current, but not enough to, you know, to... You know, there's alders more or less along the dead waters.
Mm-hmm.
And one is running the alders there and jam all the rest.
Yeah.
You'd have to keep pushing them along, get them out.
What did you get paid? You were working on the drive.
The best that they'd pay was $4 a day.
And you'd have to be a good man to get it.
That's right.
$4 a day.
$4
now, did
day.
That, did your
that was,
board
did,
come out of there? Did your board come
no,
out
no,
of there?
No, that was board free.
Oh.
That
I
was
see.
Board free. Them days, no matter where you worked, there was no board. You went and you worked, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did they mean when they said hung dry?
Hung dry? The water gets so low that they couldn't make it anymore. The logs wouldn't go down anymore.
And what did they do when this happened?
They'd leave them there.
They'd leave them there?
They'd have to. They couldn't drive them.
But wouldn't that be losing a lot of money?
Well, they kind of put booms below that and so forth, you know, and kind of fix it so they couldn't get away.
Did that happen very often?
Not too much. But it did mostly in the brooks sometime, you know. By and by we'd have a rain, we'd go back and get them. You know, good big rain in them little brooks. Fill up them dams, see?
Yeah. Like, then working on the drive was pretty much quite a job, wasn't it? I mean, spring you'd work all summer?
It was all work, my dear.
Yeah, but you'd work spring and summer and...
Yeah, I've seen the 4th of July, we were just, that spring there. The 4th of July, we were just in Oxbow Flat. You know what they call Oxbow Flat?
Yes.
Where that road goes way up over the hill and right down to the, right near the river there?
Yeah.
And I seen one spring there, I was there, right there, the 4th of July, my birthday, mind you.
Well, I'll be done.
We were just like ducks, wet. Well, we had a hard time all the way. No water, and we kept dragging the logs. And by and by, it began to rain, my dear. And it rained so much that everybody was drowned. I had one of them big rubber coats there, you know. You know, you've seen them.
Yeah,
the buckles here.
Heavy, yeah. All rubber.
And I got so wet and underneath that I had to take the rubber coat off.
And you worked right in the rain.
Hey, oh, yeah. The rain didn't stop you there. Nothing stopped you there. Rain, snow, I don't care what it was. You worked every day.
I'll be done.
Until you get it out.
When was the last time you worked on a drive?
It was quite a while ago. See?
Back in the 40s?
I've worked here on the booms, you know, but that ain't like driving.
Mm. But it's been a long time since they've had a log drive.
I know that.
Would you say back in the 40s?
Well, no, it's earlier than that. Been a long while since this mill been down here. Them
yeah,
river drives that we had here, long logs, that was it.
Sure,
I've been on a drive, fog drive for the Great Northern here after that.
This Sheridan Mill here was one of the biggest mills around, wasn't it?
That's right.
And they called it long lumber?
Yeah. They had three mills here.
Three mills.
They had a big long lumber mill. And they had a shingle mill with 10 machines in it. And they had a Kinwood mill here. Right where the road goes by there now.
Mm-hmm.
You know any other crossing there?
Mm-hmm.
There's a big kindling mill there. I worked in that too, a bunch kindling there. We used a bunch kindling, just like an egg. The bunch was about a big, go a little longer than that sheet of paper there, and a little wider to shape, just like an egg. The bottom was nice and round.
7 or 8 inches long, huh?
Yes, it was all of that, wasn't more.
Kindling, you said?
Kindling. You know what they'd use that for?
No.
They'd ship that in the cities, the light furnaces with. That and the kerosene.
It was compact wood?
It was all the... No, anyway. That was the agents. What they call the agents.
Mm-hmm.
See, they take a board. They take a board off in the log, beside the log,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't aged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The age is there. There was a sap there.
Uh-huh.
The bark. So they put that through an ager. And they take two sides off and leave your board plain like this here.
Uh-huh.
And they call them agents.
And they take the, this was the
outside
they take
these agents in some slabs and they bring them to that kindling mill there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the slashers there, cut the wood 2 inches long. All 2 inches long. You see, they throw stuff on there, and they had these big chains that would run with something like my hand there. I'd go through that and cut the agents on there.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd make that egg out of it.
And then we'd bunch it there, Russ.
Yeah.
There's bunches there, you know.
Yeah.
They had a kindling mill in the 40s, and he'd like to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked there once and I didn't like it. It saved the dust and everything there. The bark.
How long did this mill last here in Sheridan?
Oh my God, yeah.
Did it burn, or did they just tear it apart?
And the last time, they just tore it apart.
They just tore it
apart? Yeah. The company quit. And that was Stutzen and Blanchard.
Mm-hmm.
And they quit here on account that they was running under with the mill. See, they didn't make enough with the mill to keep on going. Then companies, you know, they had mills everywhere. Very rich people. And they had probably 99 or probably 150 mills. And this mill here wasn't paying. They're running under every day, every week, every year.
Mm-hmm.
So they quit. Just like Blanchard in Portage.
Mm-hmm.
They quit too on account of that. I was working there when they quit.
Mm-hmm.
Blanchard. That's why that they quit, because it was going under.
But Sheridan used to be quite a town, wasn't it?
There was 400 families here one time. That's besides the three hotels.
You had three hotels there?
Three hotels. There was one right under the river back there. Well, that's all boatos now, yeah. Well, you can still see the place of the well. It's the well still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had one right here under. Right crossing that little pump up here there. There's an hotel there too.
Mm-hmm.
Then over LeBlanc and Leo, his father, he had an hotel above where Reynold is there.
Mose? Was that Mose LeBlanc?
Yeah. Mose LeBlanc. You're right. Yeah. He was a V&A man, him.
Mm-hmm.
He was boss on the V&A for quite a few years. And then he settled down over here. Around this hotel.
Can you going back to log drive, can you think of any stories that you could tell, anything that funny that wouldn't have happened to you while you were on the log drive? Anybody falling in?
Oh, we'd fall in sometimes, yes.
Must have been pretty cold.
That year, 1917 there, I tell you, we had a snowstorm. I think it was the 12th of May. One morning we get up, there's not much snow on the logs. And the logs loose, you know, on the river.
2 feet of snow.
Yeah. They claimed that it had fell 18 inches of snow. That snow was sticky there, you know. And of course your log, we say your log is right here there. You'd go to jump on that log. But them car shoes of yours didn't hold you at all.
Not in the snow.
Because they fill up with snow there and you keep on going, you. Shut the door.
What would you do after?
I do so many ducks that morning, but it sounded awful.
What would you do after you found the water? You'd be all wet. Would you work all day like that?
We was not far from the camp. We was sluicing, you know, the dam right there. There's a big set of camps there. That's where we stayed.
Well, you say sluicing. What's that?
Huh?
What's sluicing?
Driving the lumber through the dam.
There was a
dam there, and they had gates.
Oh, I see.
You left the gate. In the morning, they'd left the gate there, you know. And at night, they'd close it to hold the water. So they have more water downstream, see? When they open again. So the next morning they'd open that gate, down go the lumber. Sluice all day, until it was dark. When you couldn't see the logs anymore, you come to camp.
What'd you do after supper at night? Did you tell stories?
We didn't have time to tell stories, my dear. We were so tired that we'd roll in.
You go to bed.
I remember one time my father, he was what they call bull cook. Them days, a bull cook, you know, he'd have to take care of the tents and take care of the spreads and stuff like that. Well, after we got started out of the camp. So the old bull cook, he'd always pick me out a place. He'd throw his frog there for me. Hey, anyway, that was the only high landing that they had. So they went and they pitched on there. And there's still snow on the ground, a lot of snow on the ground. Them low places there, there's snow up over your head. Anyway. The old man throws his frock in this nice place, you know, just nice and round. He says to himself, the boy's going to be good in here. So that night I come in and I just had time to eat my supper and I rolled in. We'd rolled in car shoes and all, mind you, under the spread. Played right out, you know, working all day with them big boots. You know. And that was I think that was my first spring, I think that one. I played right out, every night. Just the, because the booze was heavy enough for me. I was only 15 years old when I was 16. I was going to be 16 that summer. Anyway, I lay down in there, and the next morning I was, not next morning, through the night, I was flooded. It was raining, you know, raining hard. The snow, the water, it kept going up there.
He hadn't picked a very good place, had he?
He picked me up the brook. I was right there in the middle of the brook. And he helped stand by the fire. The water wouldn't have been cold. I slept right through, you know. It wouldn't have bothered me. But the water got too cold.
How about the cooking on the drive? Was it good?
Well, we'd have codfish and beans, mostly. Till we get where we get something else, then we get a few eggs and bacon and stuff like that. We're pretty well fed, though, you know. All hearty food, you know, something to stay with us.
Oh, it had to be hearty. You were working hard.
Yeah, because we worked hard. That was hard work.